Matthew 25, and let's read the first 13 verses. Then the kingdom of God will be likened to, will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. And all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are getting out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour. Let's pray once again. Lord, now we sit in silence of heart. We pray that as we deal with the sobering question, the personal question, are you ready for Christ's return? Help each one of us, oh God, to wrestle with that person. Help each one present, oh Lord, to face this question and to be ready. Lord, we pray that many live as if your Son will not return. Others argue that it's been over 2,000 years and your Son has not returned. The Lord, as your word tells us, and as your Spirit continues to testify in us and in your word, one day the trumpet will sound and the Son will return. Many, O Lord, will not be ready. We pray that will not be the case for each one of us present this morning. Lord, we pray that once again, as it has pleased you to gather and challenge us concerning your second coming, we pray, O Lord, that at the end of it, at the end of the service, may all of us be ready and prepared for your coming, not because of our good deeds, but because of the grace of Him who is coming again, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Glorify yourself, O God, in the preaching of your word. For Jesus is Amen. We continue in a series of messages that have been calling sermons to the natural man. And the idea really is to go through familiar passages or stories in the Bible and draw lessons from those passages for both Christians and unchristians. And this series is meant to encourage those of us who are Christians on their stance before God. To encourage those of us who are Christians to take comfort in God's word and to take comfort in what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. But also, these messages are meant to awaken the consciousness of those who continue to come Sunday in and Sunday out in this place and still go back home the same. Those who continue to listen to the preaching of God's word and yet not come to the realization of their desperate need of the Savior in their lives. These messages are meant to show those still living in sin that you are in a desperate situation. To show you that while you still have life, you still have hope to make things right with God. But also to warn you that should you continue ignoring the call of God to you, God's salvation to you, a time will come when that call will be no more and you stand face to face with God. And what account will you give? This morning we come to Matthew chapter 25 and we are considering the parable of the 10 virgins. This parable is taken from the great discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives. It begins in chapter 24 and then all the way into chapter 25. And there the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with his second coming. And his disciples in chapter 24 went and asked when he will return or when he will restore the kingdom of God. And from there the Lord Jesus Christ uses different parables, different examples to show that his coming will be sudden, will be unexpected, but those who are hearing must prepare for his coming. He warns all his hearers that heard Christ speak and those that will hear him speak through his words to prepare themselves and to be ready for his coming. In chapter 24, the Lord Jesus Christ 4 times in 4 different verses warns that his coming will be unexpected. In Matthew 24 verse 36, he says, "Of that day and hour no one knows, but except the Father." In verse 42, again he repeats the warning. In verse 44 of Matthew 24, again he brings out that aspect. And then in Matthew 24 verse 50, again, he brings out that warning. And then in Matthew 25, he brings again the same warning, but this time giving the warning through the parable of the 10 virgins. And in order for us to appreciate the parable of the 10 virgins, to appreciate the impact of the story or the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to appreciate something of the Jewish customs. Something of the first century Jewish wedding customs for us to appreciate what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to communicate in this parable. In the first century Jewish custom, marriage took place at 3 different stages or phases or levels. Yet just one marriage, but there are 3 different aspects of celebrating that marriage. The first was the official engagement, which was almost always arranged by the parents. The parents will arrange and meet with families, and then there was that official engagement. Then months later, or even up to a year, there will be the formal religious
wedding ceremony, more similar to our modern day weddings and their religious wedding ceremonies. And so that was the second stage. And then the third stage was the wedding banquet, which would take place either immediately or hours after the formal religious ceremonies, or sometimes it would take days after the wedding, the religious aspect of it was done. And it is that background that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us. The official engagement is done. The formal religious ceremony is done. And now it is the wedding banquet, the wedding feast. And this wedding banquet would take place after the formal religious one has taken place. And it was a joyous occasion. It sometimes, in some families, depending on their financial status, it even go on for 7 days. And so it was a time when there was lots of eating. But it was also a time when the communities who come out of their houses to rejoice with the families as they would see the bride and the groom walking to the banquet hall. And this wedding banquet would often take place in the home of the groom's parents. And those who are invited, the bridesmaid, will parade themselves on the highways. And since it will, most of the time, would take place in the evenings, they would lead lambs, and then they would allow and lift them high up, and then the bride and the groom would walk through those lights. It was a violation of customs if anyone on the wedding party did not stand on the highway waiting for the bride and the groom. And this is a story behind the parable of the 10 virgins. And the focus of the story is on these 10 virgins. 5 were wise. 5 were foolish. 5 were ready. 5 were not. 5 entered the wedding banquet. 5 did not. All this is to teach us through the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, in view of His second coming, that when He comes again, many will not be ready for His coming, as depicted in this parable. So let us open up that parable and draw lessons from it. The first thing we note is that the true nature of the visible church of Christ is that it will always be a mixture till Christ returns. The nature of the church, the visible church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that there will always be this puzzling mixture until Christ returns, who is going to separate the sheep from the goats. And this is what you pick in verse 1 and 2. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lambs and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. Those 2 verses give us a picture of both the wise in one company, mingling together, having fellowship, and outwardly appearing to be the same. And one of the most striking things about these virgins, or about this story the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us, is that on the surface, you could not tell the difference. All the virgins had gone to wait for the bride and the groom. All 10 of them had their lamps with them. All of them, 10 of them, wanted to see the bridegroom. All of them were in the right place at the right time for the right reasons. All of them were looking forward to the wedding banquet. All of them had lamps and some oil in their lamps at the beginning. All of them fell asleep in waiting for the bridegroom. And all of them were woken up by the midnight cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." All of them, when they heard the midnight cry, began to prepare themselves to meet the bride and the bridegroom and to go with him to the wedding banquet. All of them appeared to be equally prepared for the bridegroom's coming, and all of them had been invited. And all of them had responded to the invitation and were just waiting for the arrival of the bridegroom. On the surface, you could not tell the difference. They were mingling together. They were a mixture, a puzzling mixture. Some were wise, some were foolish. And let's suppose we brought those 10 virgins and put them in front of us and said, "Okay, can we distinguish the wise from the foolish?" It would have been difficult to do that. I suppose we would have looked at them, maybe try and guess who could be wise, who could be foolish. Maybe we would say, maybe number two doesn't seem to be interested. Maybe she's not wise. Or maybe number 10 seemed to be chewing gum as waiting for the bridegroom. Maybe she might not be wise. Oh, maybe number 8. I think I know number 8. She lives within my community. There's no way she'll be among the wise. But the point is, it would have been difficult to give the distinctions. They all looked alike, one way or the other, or they all had the same characteristics outwardly speaking, and mingled together, and they are all described as 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom to join the banquet hall. But they were 5 who were wise and 5 who were foolish. And the thrust of the Lord Jesus Christ's story in the parable is to help us see is that the visible church of Christ is that it will always be this puzzling mixture. There will always be those who know Christ personally and have come to know Him by the working power of the Holy Spirit. And there are those who simply attend His church. When we gather to worship God in this place, there are two churches that meet right here at Kabwata Baptist Church. The outward church and the inward church. The outward church includes regular attendance, members of this church, friends, visitors, and all those who call this place their church. But the inward church are those who've come to experience the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been saved from there, and as I look forward each day to His coming, they are constantly being reminded from the Word, and they are putting to death their old self, knowing very well that He who began a good work in them will return and bring it to completion. Inward church, those who gather Sunday in and Sunday out, knowing that their gathering is not because of anything they feel they'll benefit or out of obligation. No, it's because they long to worship God who saved them. People come to church for all kinds of reasons. Maybe some of you are just dragged to come to this church. Maybe some of you came because of your friends inviting you. Maybe some of you came because you want to see your friends. Some of you came because of the sense of feeling guilt because you've not been in the house of worship for some months or years. Some of you come out of obligation because you think you gain some favor from God by being in His house. All those things in and of themselves are not bad. But the question is this. Are you ready for the return of Christ? What is it that will distinguish you from the rest of people who gathered in this building? What is it that propels a desire in you to long for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember that the church, the visible church of Christ, is a mixture. It's a puzzling mixture. There are those who believe in Christ and there are those who don't. There are those who are hypocrites and there are those who've come to know the saving grace of God. And the question is this, you who's seated here this morning, what is it that propels a desire in you to long for the return of Christ? This parable teaches us that he who is the bridegroom knows those who are wise and those who are foolish, those who are his and those who are not. And in this puzzling mixture, the descending eye of God the Son knows those who are his sheep. And he daily continues to assure them by his Spirit that I'm coming again. Hold on. Continue waiting. I will return. But secondly, we note that in this puzzling mixture, there is always this one crucial difference. And that crucial difference is that some are ready for Christ's return while others are not. Some are ready, have been made ready for Christ's return while others are not. And you pick this from verse 3 all the way to verse 9. As you see, in the story of Christ about these virgins, we are told, for the foolish took their lamps. They took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bride, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish say to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." The crucial difference in a mixture like this, in a gathering like this, is that there are those who are ready for the return of Christ
and there are those who are not ready. 10 virgins, all waiting for the bridegroom. And yet there was this difference, this crucial difference. 5 wise virgins were ready for the bridegroom. 5 foolish virgins were not. And you could not tell the difference if you met them or if you saw them all by the highway waiting for the return of the bridegroom. And I could imagine all these 10 sleeping along the highways waiting to hear that cry, "Here comes the bride." Oh, looking eager and looking forward to see and enter the wedding banquet. But not all of them were ready for his return, for the bridegroom's coming rather. 5 of them had prepared themselves. They saw the possibilities of the bridegroom coming late. And so they just prepared themselves to ensure that should this be the case, they were ready and were not left out. While the other 5 did not see any of these possibilities, or if they did, at least they did not think that this would be the likelihood in this event. And therefore, they went unprepared. But notice that all the virgins knew about the wedding, knew that the bridegroom would be coming. They had all the information they needed to know. They had all the details of the wedding. So they should have prepared themselves. They knew that even though the bridegroom is delayed, he will come. And yet, they did not prepare themselves. And so it's not a matter of lack of information. It's not a matter of lacking details. It's not a matter of being misinformed. No, it's an issue of not being ready. This is what made the difference. 5 foolish virgins had all the information they needed to know and they needed to have. Yet, they were not ready. Let's assume, as a parable indicates, let's assume that these 5 virgins had managed to source some oil from the dealers. Why were they not allowed to enter when they came knocking? If the issue was about oil, why were they not allowed to enter the wedding banquet? And the reason is very clear from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. They waited too late. They waited too late. No doubt their intentions were good. No doubt they wanted to be part of the wedding banquet. But you see that good intentions were not good enough for them. Once the door was shut, it was too late. There was nowhere they were going to be allowed to come in. No matter how long they stood outside or how loud they shouted out from the door was shut. They waited too late. The opportunity they had to join the rest of the wedding company to go into the wedding banquet was gone. They waited and realized too late.
five wise virgins represents those who have the inward preparation of the Holy Spirit. Those who've been saved from sin. And God the Holy Spirit has taken residence in their hearts. And every day He guides them. And continues to create a longing in their hearts for the return of Christ. The five foolish virgins represent religious individuals. People who come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but are never truly converted genuinely. They know Christ will return, but somehow they continue to engage in other activities, hoping that in the last minute they will find a way to sneak in. All these virgins were at the wedding, were looking forward to the bridegroom's return. And yet five of them were not ready, and five were ready. And the question you need to constantly wrestle with is, are you ready for the return of Christ? Do you have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, which constantly reminds you that you belong to God's family? Do you have that indwelling power of the Holy Spirit which accompanies true conversion? Not just coming under the conviction of sin and yet not cry out to God for forgiveness of sin. No. The question is, do you have that indwelling power of God the Holy Spirit which accompanies true salvation? And that power which daily lives in you, which daily reminds you that Jesus will return, and each day you prepare yourself, each day you are looking forward to His coming, each day as you gather with God's people to worship Him, together you are reminding yourself that He will return again. That is what makes a crucial difference between born-again believers and religious people. The difference is that those who are born again have been saved from sin. And they've been sealed by the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of their adoption, of their sonship. Even though Christ has been gone for 2,000 years or so, there's this deep inner conviction that He will return. There's this deep conviction because the Spirit of God in us continues to remind us of that reality, continues to help us live in that full assurance of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, continue to help us to look forward to that time. And every day as we go in this life, the things we go through are pointing us to the fact that one day all this will come to an end and Christ will return. And that is what makes the crucial difference. Don't sit here and deceive yourselves that you are all the same because you come to this church. There's a crucial difference. You are religious while others are not. They have been born from above. And their lives testify of a life that has been converted from sin. One day you stand before God. What account will you give to God? You can't get into heaven by living or associating with a born-again person, the one who's been saved from sin. No. Salvation is a personal thing. The Lord will ask you to give an account of your life as you. It will not be about your parents. It will not be about your guardians. It will not be about your spouse. It will not be about your friends. It will be about you. If it's based on, if our entrance into heaven was based on association, these five foolish virgins would have been allowed to enter heaven on account of associating with the five wise virgins. But it's a personal thing. What account will you give to God? That I went to church. I mingled with believers. I attended the Baptist church. No. You need Christ. You need to know the bridegroom of the wedding banquet. The owner of the wedding banquet is He who can save you from your sins. And it is Him who makes the difference in the life of a person. Finally, we see in this parable a warning about the danger of self-deception. We see the Lord Jesus Christ warning us about self-deception. Verse 10 through to verse 13. And while they were gone to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour the Lord Jesus Christ wants." What a sad scene. Having waited for the bridegroom to come, even in the process, having fallen asleep, just waiting for the bridegroom to come, only to have the door shut before them. And the Lord Jesus Christ warns about self-deception there. And the danger of self-deception is seen in how the five foolish virgins thought that the door will always be opened to them. They thought that since they have been waiting, they can go and come back later and the door will be opened for them. And verse 10 tells us, "And while they were gone to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with them to the marriage feast, and the door was shut." Our thoughts, it will forever remain open to them. Little do they know that a time will come, once the bridegroom has entered, the door will be shut, and the feast would have begun. And no one will be allowed to enter. And Christ warns about self-deception. But also see that the danger of self-deception is seen in how that the five virgins thought that they were well known by the bridegroom. Not only did they deceive themselves that the door would be forever be open, but they deceived themselves thinking that they are well known by the bridegroom. And what is that scene we see there? having made all the efforts to go in the dark and look for oil and come back and knocking at the door, Lord, Lord, open for us. Sir, open for us. You invited us. Oh, sir, we are sorry we did not carry oil with us. Only to hear the words from the inside. I never knew you. What a sad scene. These five foolish virgins thought they were friends with the bridegroom to the very end. They thought they were well known. They were never enemies. And the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't tell us that these five virgins were sinners or were immoral ladies. No. If that was the case, we'll probably say maybe that's why the bridegroom did not open for them. Because he knew the character of these ladies. But we're not told any of those things. All we are told is that when they came and knocked and cried and called out, the words from the other side of the door is, truly I say to you, I do not know you. It is clear. They had deceived themselves in thinking that they are well known. Are you deceiving yourself this morning with your religious activities? Are you deceiving yourself this morning thinking that the door of salvation will always be open to you and you can repent at any time you feel like? Are you deceiving yourself thinking that Jesus truly knows you? He has this intimate knowledge of you, intimate relationship with you. And do you base all that because of your religious activities? And if that's your assurance, you are deceiving yourself. A time is coming when the door of salvation will be closed to you. A time is coming when you hear those sad and solemn words from the lips of an all-knowing God, I never knew you. A time will come when you cry, Lord, Lord, open the door to us. And God will say to you, I never knew you. Today the door of salvation is open. But it will not always be open. It will be closed at death, or it will be closed at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you deceiving yourself? Thinking you have 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of life on earth. James asks, what is life? What is man? What's your life? Isn't it just a vapor that is here today and tomorrow is gone? And so why continue to deceive yourself when you don't know when you will disappear or when your life will come to an end? Now, God has given you that opportunity to see your desperate need of Him and make things right with Him by believing in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can save, who alone can change your heart. Today, The door is open. But our text also reminds us that the door will not forever be open. This past Friday, Independence Avenue, although to the government offices, was a hype of activities, almost impassable. As the members of the UPND were marching in mourning of their friend who had died in the course of the week in Kaoma. And as I was thinking about the scene, the mob of people carrying the coffin of their friend, I thought to myself, the door of salvation has been shut to whoever is in the coffin. If he was not a Christian, the door has been shut forever. No opportunity to make things right with God again. Now rewind to the beginning of this week. Or was it last week? Into this week. The son had left Lusaka with many others to go and campaign for their candidate for the councillor position in Kaoma. They left Lusaka with no thought that one of them may leave this world. It was life as usual. Cutting across the Kafue National Park into Western Province with the view and the hope and the longing to get back to the bright lights of Lusaka. And God had an appointment with that candidate, with that individual, and he died. Don't think it cannot be you. Any one of us can leave this world at any time, in any way, in any manner. But the question is, are you ready for Christ's return? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? And this is the thrust of the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. To teach us the fact that many will not be ready for His coming. And the solemnity of it all is that He is talking to His disciples. Individuals who had walked with Christ, who had followed Christ, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ still sees it fit to warn His disciples about being ready and being prepared for His coming. And the question I ask as I end, are you ready for His return? Are you ready for the return of Christ? If the trumpet of the Lord was to be sound this moment, will you rejoice because He has finally come to take you to be with Him forever? The God you've longed for, the Savior who saved you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the One whom you've longed for all this time, and as you've been longing for Him, you've lived your life following His commands, doing His will, and now He's returned for you. Or it would be a sad scene, like those virgins, Lord, Lord, open for us. And God will say, I never knew you. Plead that you make things right with God and that He will prepare you for His coming by changing your heart and giving you a heart that will long for Him, that will desire Him, and a heart that will live for Him. The parable of the virgin, 10 virgins, teaches us that some will be ready for Christ's return, others will not. The question is, are you ready for the return of Christ? Or that you may answer, that before you leave this building, you live in full assurance that you are ready. And that as God's people see, there's that land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can seal it afar. And the Father is waiting on the other shore to prepare us a dwelling place there. You too can sing this time with meaning, with longing, because you've made things right with God. Amen.